Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
You may be seated. And can we take a moment to thank our incredible worship teams right across Life? Come on, for faithfully serving. So, so good. And you excited for the Word? You ready for the Word? I believe in the power of God's Word. And whether you're online, you're in one of our locals, any one of our campuses here, in Life Central, we're believing together that God would move. And as He has already done, I believe, over our worship, over our praise, God wants to continue to speak in and through His Word. And we are in the exciting month of June, which means in about, what are we, the June 4th, in about 17-odd days' time, we'll hit the equinox and the days will start getting longer. We're heading for summer. Praise the Lord. But anyway, aside from that, this month, we're taking a moment to focus in on a subject matter that I think is very important we all capture and gain understanding on. It's the subject of generosity. And why is it important? Because Jesus taught us the way He lived and the way we ought to live actually makes a difference in the world we live in. And it's not just a good idea, it's a God idea. And how many know in our day, in our age, in our generation, wherever you may live, whatever stage or age of life you're at, it does not take much now to open the door to a discussion on faith if you and I were just a little bit generous with someone, whether time, finances, emotions, whatever it may be. It's kind of like, why'd you do that? And so we're going to take a very simple scripture, but a very profound one found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is full of wisdom, but it simply says this. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24, 25. I'm actually going to read from the Message version today. It says this: the world of the generous gets what? Larger and larger. But the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is what? Abundantly blessed. Those who help others are now helped. Kind of countercultural, right? We're going to pray and ask God to speak to us through this passage. But before we do, turn to your neighbor and say, don't be stingy. Nice. Father, we thank You that whatever campus we may be in, whatever local we're in, whatever church looks like, whether in our living room right now, I pray that as we gather around Your Word, the Holy Spirit, You would speak, that it would be You that leads, You that guides us into all truth. We pray this simple but profound passage would cause our hearts to change, our actions to change, our lives to change, and discover the wonder of an enlarged life and an abundantly blessed life. We ask it in Your name, the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant before and there's a group of you and someone gets up far too early to go to the bathroom and you discover they've gone to make sure that they talk to the waiter about paying for the bill at the end and being generous. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, man, those people are annoying. I grew up with this. If you need an insight into how Pastor Paul and Marie work, it would get so bad at the restaurant with friends, there would actually be fights that took place. Anyone got a friend like that, a family member like that? It's like, it gets awkward. As a kid, you're like, dude, just sit down. Can we enjoy the meal? Because there's a scrap going on of who's going to pay. Quite an awkward situation or scenario. And there is one other scenario I can remember that's probably more awkward, and that's when you go out for dinner with someone and someone says, oh, sorry, bro, I forgot my wallet. And it's like, yeah, right. I've heard this before, Mr. Stingy, you know. They're doing the Aussie haka, you know, like trying to find a wallet. Sorry, Melbourne. Sorry, Adelaide. Love you. But it just comes out sometimes, you know. But if I said to you today, what's the first thought? Well, the first word that comes to your mind when I say the word generosity. Chances are most of us will have gone to money. Our culture defines generosity as dollars and cents. And although money is a part of generosity, as we're going to discover in God's word, generosity is not limited to our finances. And therefore, whether you have much or you have little, the scripture is talking to every single one of us. As to Christians, whether you and I want to live a large and larger and abundantly blessed life, or a smaller and smaller and stingy kind of life. Generosity is actually more than an action. Generosity is an attitude. Generosity is more than an action, it's a mindset. Generosity is more than an action. I believe it's a human being committed to discovering the wonder of what a larger and larger life actually looks like. Because the truth is, Christians, yes, you and I, should be the most generous people on the planet. Why is that? Because we've discovered there's a God in heaven who gave it all so we can have it all. Yeah, Luke, but you don't understand where things are at right now economically. Well, I have a little bit of an understanding, but no, I may not know your situation, but what I do know is you and I serve the same God. What I do know is God so loved the world that he sent his only son. I've got one son. I'm not keen on sending him. Well, maybe sometimes if he's been a bit of a rat bag, but I could only imagine what it was like for God to say, you know what? I got you covered. Christians of all people are not better than other people, but we have an understanding. Not because of our doing, but because of his doing, we now have. So the question begs, do the people in your workplace know you're the most generous on staff? Do the people in your family understand that you've captured a revelation that I am here on this earth to enlarge your life, and in doing so, the God of all heaven and earth will enlarge my life? Or do we have the tendency, we're going to find out through humanity, that is to be stingy and to hold on to the little that we have just in case we lose it all? So he gets a little bit quiet because this is a topic that's not easy to outwork in our lives. But I've discovered, and I'm continuing to discover, that God's purposes are aligned to generosity. Why is that? Because he is the God that has, continues, and will always give of himself. And God's own desire is that we would become like Jesus and live generous. We all know Paul in the Bible, if you've been in church a little while, and he writes in Philippians 4, verse 19, the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. Where from? His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. The moment you say yes to Jesus is the moment all access, all authority, all power, all finances, all of God's generosity comes our way. But do you have that revelation as Paul has that revelation? If you understand Paul's life, you understand how possibly hypocritical it was to say that when he went through some pretty tough times. But he had a revelation that no matter whether I have much or I have little, the same God that's taking care of me will also supply all of your needs. He's not a God that's limited to a person. He's the God of all creation. If you're a parent like me, you'll have seen this play out at home maybe. I wish it would happen in my house more often than it does, but when a kid decides to be generous with what they have to one of their brothers or sisters, first the shock horror of it actually happening, and then moving past that to the realization, as a father, every time I see that, something goes off on the inside where I say to myself, I won't let them miss out. But if you're like me as a parent, you discover very quickly, you do your best to teach your children to be generous, yet somehow the default seems to be stingy. I'll give you this whole block of chocolate if you give it away. What? I'll give it to you so you can give it to someone else. What do I get? No, I'm giving it to you to give it away. Yeah, but what do I get? How many have had this conversation with God? hey, I've given you life and life abundance. So I want you to give of yourself to other people. Yeah, but what do I get?
Yeah, very
good. Don't feel condemned because we're all in the boat together. We're paddling in the same waka this morning. But the truth is we have a default to hold on to what we have. God's desire is that we would live where we would release. Isn't it interesting when you give something away or you receive something that's been given away, the same response takes place. Joy appears. I had the opportunity last night to take my 5-year-old son to the Mighty Warriors game. Huge win, unlucky Dolphins. And as we were having fun, there was about 10 minutes to go. He needed to go to the bathroom. I was like, awesome. We're in the top row. Took a long time to get down. I was like, we'll just take all our stuff, buddy, because we're probably not going to come back here. We'll watch it from down there. Anyway, go to the bathroom. And then he says, can I get an ice cream? Mum's not there, so yeah, bro, YOLO. So we go through the queue. People are buying their hot chips and beer and all of this stuff. Anyway, we go grab this ice cream. I'm standing in the line, ready to pay. I'm guessing it's $4, I don't know, something like that. And we get to the counter, and the lady behind the counter just looks at him with the ice cream, and I said, oh, we'll just grab that. She just looks at him, she goes. And he doesn't know what to do, because he's looking up at me like, I don't know, maybe in his mind he thought he was robbing a bank or something. And I was like, and then he starts to walk off. I said, oi, what do you say?
Come on.
Thank you. And as we walked off, he's like, Dad, can you believe it? She just let me have that. So she must love you, buddy. He's like, this is awesome. Joy. But what was on the other face? Joy. This is why the Bible says that it is more blessed to give than receive, because in the activation of what we're actually created to do and giving of ourselves, we experience joy, not just the person receiving joy. And this is why your life, my life, gets larger and larger. The challenge for every single one of us at every campus is to not look for the line where you think the person is going to give you the free ice cream. Like, it got me good. I went back again. I was like, hey, are you sure? Like, I'm happy to pay for the ice cream. She's like, no, no, you good. I love seeing little kids light up when that happens. What is it in your power, in my power, in our lives, where we can be the joy bringers and the joy releasers because of God? Paul's encouragement in Acts, he goes on and he's talking about this in Acts 20, verse 35. Hey, in everything I've showed you, by example, that by what? Working hard in the way you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Because that it was him who said, it is more blessed. And brings what? Greater joy to give, watch now, than receive. The little 5-year-old was having the time of his life, honing into that ice cream way past his bedtime. Life was good. It was freezing, but he didn't care. But watch, it is more blessed and brings greater joy to what? Give. Be generous than to receive. It's actually the way Jesus designed it. Here's how I would put how you and I need to live generous like Jesus did. We need to move from a mentality of need to an assurance of supply. In all that we're in, even in the economic day and age we're in right here and right now in 2023, we need to what? Move from a mentality of what I need to an assurance, a conviction, and a revelation of the supply we already have in Him. Wasn't it Adam and Eve? Way back then, that proved how we as humans have got it wrong right from the beginning. God himself, capture it, in the garden with them. What does he say? I have given you everything you need. And what was human's response? I need the apple. The moment that took place, I believe, was the moment a poverty spirit entered humanity. They had everything. Everything you could ever need, want, or desire was there. Everything designed for humans to live successful, blessed, and larger lives was there. But the decision came down not to an assurance of supply, but to a mentality of I need and I want what I don't have. This is where we've got to understand it, because from that moment, this poverty spirit entered human beings. And so our nature now is to constantly see what we don't have rather than what we do have. Whatever campus you're at, I want you to capture it. Take note of it. God is a giver. We, the fallen human beings by nature, are takers. God's nature is to give, our nature is to take. This is why for some people, it's hard to worship by lifting your hands, because it's like, well, I don't feel like that right now. And if you really discover and talk to people who are got a revelation of worship, they're like, I couldn't not help but lift my hands and surrender because he gave me everything. Holy moly, I've got to give back all that I am. It's not about how I feel. It's not about what's going on right now. It's about who he is. And I'm coming to say, thank you, Lord. I still breathe right now. Thank you, God. You sent your son. Thank you. You've given it all. Assurance of supply versus a mentality of need. In fact, Jesus, I love Jesus, very simply gives us the antidote to cure our selfish living, found in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek him. Now live according to his word. Live righteously. And what? Bang. Larger and larger. Everything and all you and I need will be given. Seek his way, live his way, and supply will never run out. You see, prosperity is not measured by what we accumulate as Christians, but actually by what we give away. Interesting, the church gets attacked for prosperity teaching because they think prosperity is about accumulation. No, 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 people. God's economy, God's kingdom works and gets larger when we don't accumulate, but we give away. This is why generosity brings joy. Because, oh my gosh, I get to be a part of changing that little boy's life. And in turn, not only do I feel better, but now I am, God's way of speaking, open, ready, to be filled again, to give again. Prosperity is not measured by what we accumulate, but by what we give away. So very quickly, am I stewarding my God-given gifts well here on earth, or am I being stingy with what God's given me? I think it was Pastor Paul a few weeks ago that asked the question, what percentage of your last season of life has been lived for kingdom purpose? How many remember that challenge? But how stingy or how generous am I with my time? Are you with your time, with your talents, with your gifts, with your finances? Are we just takers by nature, or are we actually discovering the wonder of what it is to give of what has already been given? I think it was Mother Teresa that said, generosity is not how much we give, but how much we put into giving. We want to measure generosity by how much we give, but actually it's about the attitude of how much we put in to what we give. The ice cream was $4. not a lot of money in one sense, but the intent in what the giver was able to do in bringing that to the young child was what changed the game. 1 Timothy encourages us in verse 17 to 19 of chapter 6 in the Good News Translation, command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be proud, but to place their hope not in such uncertain things as riches, but in who? God. Who generously gives everything to us for what? Our enjoyment. How good is that? But remember, be commanded to do what? Good. To be rich in good works and to be generous and ready to share with others. In this way, you and I then will store up for ourselves treasure, which will be what? A solid foundation for the future. And then they will be able to win. I love this. Win the life which is truly life. God's eternal perspective for your life and my life is birthed out of generosity. The challenge of 1 Timothy is, would we live in a way here on earth where we don't store up the treasures we have here on earth, but live our lives for other people so that we in turn will store up treasures for our eternity in Him? God looks after your future when you look after people's now. And so we're going to quickly come to three simple thoughts I have around generosity, because the truth is, Jesus was the greatest example of a human being who lived a generous life. Thank God He sent His Son, but thank Jesus He did everything He did so that we could have what we have. Generosity becomes our portion when we become like Jesus. The first thing I would say is generosity needs a willing vessel. A willing vessel. See, Jesus was just like you and I. We understand that. He was fully human. He was fully God. But what He was every single day of every moment was willing to live His life for other people. I mean, there's so many scriptures, and we would be here literally till summertime if we went through them all. But Matthew 8 puts it this way. Suddenly a man, verse 2, with leprosy, a life-controlling condition, approaches Jesus and kneels before Jesus, and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. This guy knows Jesus has the power. Yeah. Watch Jesus' response in verse 3. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed, and instantly the leprosy disappeared. Jesus, in that moment, had to make a decision. What am I going to do with the need facing me right now? Maybe there's needs in your life right now. Maybe you're like the man with leprosy, where it's like, I can't get through and life is all-consuming. Whatever campus you're at, I want you to hear me today. Interesting, this man with leprosy, first thing he does is he acknowledges who God is. Lord, if you are willing, and then watch Jesus' response. I am willing. And a miracle takes place. I guess the question is simply this. How willing am I when God sends people my way that are in need? So when you're generous, you see the need and you are willing to do for the need what the need can't do for itself. We see Jesus time and time again be willing through His ministry, and even to the end days on this earth. Father, not my will, but yours be done. I will take upon what you've given and asked of me as a follower of you to what? Serve other people. Generosity needs a willing vessel. Secondly, generosity needs a humble response. Not just a willing vessel, but now a what? Humble response. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 9 says this, I must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Think about that. He was God, but he chose less of. Why did he do that? He gave up, verse 7, his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he what? Humbled himself. In, if you've got your Bible, underline this word, obedience to God. And he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. Jesus' humility gave him access to all authority. Jesus was there in the beginning. God is three in one. And he put his hand up and said, I got this one. He came to earth. He humbled himself. He didn't refer to himself in all of who he was, God, but he said, you know, I'm human here and I'm going to show you and show myself a way to live that is better than the way the world tells you to live. To live generously requires a humble response every single day. Oh, it might cost you some pride. It might cost you some finance, might cost you some time, might cost you some words, but as we in humility serve one another, we actually discover the wonder of the joy that he talked about when he went to the cross, the joy that was set before him. Why? He saw you and I, and as he humbled himself, it wasn't a sacrifice anymore. In his obedience to God saying, hey, would you trust me? He saw the supply in that moment for his every need. So the question simply is, what level of humility is my current reality? What is the level of my current humility in my life? Is it all about what I've done? Or is it all about what he's done? Because when you actually discover who God is, you discover we're actually always stewards and never owners in this life. But that's a big mindset shift. Are you with me? And finally, as I bring this to a close, not just a willing, I guess I want to labor on willing, not just a willing, you get to choose, I get to choose, a willing vessel, not just a humble response. But I do genuinely believe generosity comes out of being like Jesus, and he modeled this and asked us to now live this. And thirdly, it's a complete obedience. So we need a willingness, we need a humility, and now we need an obedience that is not partial, but complete. Very quickly, Mark 10, verse 17 to 21 says this, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him. He knelt down and he asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good, Jesus says. Only God is truly good. There's the humility. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Make sure you honor your father and mother. Teacher, verse 20 says, I obeyed all these commandments since I was young. And then verse 21, looking at the man, the Bible says, Jesus felt what? Genuine love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. The truth is, and all the gifts, the talents, the time, the finances, the air we breathe, everything that we've been given, if we're not careful, can only be partially given back to God. But generosity and an inheriting of eternal life and treasures in the afterlife comes from the decision points we make here on earth to give him our all. Not just part, but all of who we are. I'm so thankful for the hundreds, in fact, thousands of people who call life home that are volunteers that serve every week. whether in our community endeavors through to our church services, that actually give up of their time to say, you know what, I'm going to be generous to make a difference in someone else's life. I believe on the other side of that obedience is treasure being stored up. The challenge for you and I is, if this proverb is true, that the world of the generous gets larger and larger and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller, we're either in one of two camps. And the unlocking of the freedom God has for us found in salvation is found in the scripture, where he says to this rich young ruler, it's not about just ticking the box. It's about living a full, a complete, a whole obedience and surrender to me. You've done all the good things, but there's something still that you're not trusting me with. And until you get to a place where you get generous with what's holding you back, and in his case, it was finances, you're not going to see the fullness of my kingdom. He was obedient, but he was partially obedient. And so I guess the question I have for us as we start and kick off this month on generosity, when it comes to complete obedience, is this: what have I yet to surrender to Father God that is restricting my ultimate freedom? Is it my time, my talents, my gifts, my finances, my words, my emotions? God, I need you to know that I'm suffering and struggling right now. Or do we hold that to ourselves because we don't want to disappoint? Or we don't want to live frustrated? But if we want to see our worlds, our countries, our cities, our workplaces, our universities, our high schools impacted and changed with the reality of Jesus, we need to commit to being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and then doing what Jesus did and live our lives for others. It was Winston Churchill that said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We receive grace. We discover gratitude, and now we're called to activate the giving of ourselves to the world in need. God wants to enlarge your life. He wants to abundantly bless your life. But you and I need to get to a place where we're willing, we're humble, and then we're obedient to what he's asking of us. And in the doing so, I 100% believe that every single one of us is going to discover joy like never before. And so whatever campus you're at, I want you to be encouraged as we go on this journey of considering what generosity means to us and how generous we are. Let's be people that commit to knowing that in every place that we turn up to, everyone would know they're the generous people. And your workplace would know there's something different, and it's not because you can speak eloquently or you're the best performer in the company, but for some reason you seem to turn up earlier than I need you. Boss paraphrase for other people. For some reason, you're the person that keeps bringing morning tea every Monday. I don't know why, and I don't know how much it costs, but man, it makes a difference. For some, it's just sitting and saying, hey, how are you actually going? Can be the smallest of seeds, but can have the most lasting of impacts. And joy will be the result when people like you and I discover the wonder of what God's given us to now give to others. And as we give of ourselves, our worlds get larger and larger and more abundantly blessed. Amen. You know, whatever campus you're at, whether you're in a local, you're in this room, if you're yet to discover the wonder of God's generosity by sending his son Jesus, then the Bible actually says, the book of Romans, that anyone who believes in their heart, confesses with their mouth that he is Lord, they shall be saved. And if you don't know where you're going when it comes to, or in regards to your eternity, then I just want to take a moment to say you can know for sure where you're going when you discover a relationship with Jesus. It's not about joining a church, not about getting it all together, but it is about accepting his generosity. In fact, Jesus was sent as a gift for you and I. But if you don't open the gift, you miss the gift. And so I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. And right now, Christians are praying for those that are yet to discover the wonder of Jesus, or you once knew what it was to have a relationship with Jesus, but if you're completely honest, you've walked away. You have made decisions or allowed other people to make decisions that have caused a separation between you and God. Then can you come home? Can you say yes to Jesus? No one looking around. Christians praying right now online. You can reach out to our team and our campuses right now. We're going to pray right across life for people that need to say yes to Jesus. But if you're here, say, Luke, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. Then I'm going to give you the words to use right now. And as we pray this, in fact, I'm going to ask all of us to pray these words. I want you to pray them like you mean them. And then we're going to believe together God's going to enter your heart and life. And then as a church, we're here to help in any way we can. But come on, why don't we all pray this prayer together? And if you want to make this decision, you pray it with us too. Say, God, today, I give you my life. I'm sorry for my sin and trying to do my own thing. But I choose you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for loving me, forgiving me, and giving me a fresh start. I accept your generosity and I say yes to Jesus. In his mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.